The Seder of Korach revolves around the ideas of Shalom, which is normally translated as peace, and Machlokas, strife, arguments. And in the past, I've spoken in general about the concept that peace does not mean the lack of argument or strife. It doesn't mean when there's serenity and everybody does the same thing and nobody argues with anybody else. That's not peace. And the machlokas can be good. There's machlokas l'shem shamayim. Arguments that are for the sake of heaven are in fact positive things. And the arguments that are not positive are the arguments that are not for the sake of heaven. In a nutshell, what we've explained in the past, and today I want to hone in on one specific aspect of this topic. But the topic in general is that nothing in this world individually can ever reach perfection, because only God is perfect. God created many, many things, and he gave each one certain characteristics, certain kochos, kishronos, abilities, capabilities, a nature, and perfection is reached when there's harmony and cooperation between all the various things in nature, in the world, human beings, and so on. And that is peace. Shalom means shlemus, perfection. Perfection means harmony, things working together, because everything has a part to contribute, and the perfection comes when all the parts work together. In that respect, you can have even directly opposed things, things that are antithetical to each other, but when they work together, there's heaven. What is that? Shamayim. What is Shamayim made of? A Shamayim, fire and water. When fire and water work together, there's heaven. And when there's Machlokes Shelo L'Shem Shamayim, they don't work together. When things work against each other, each one wanting to be the victor, to being the perfection in themselves, then what happened to Korach is he went alive to Gehenna. So when there is peace and harmony in the world, there is living Gan Eden in this world. And when there is strife in the world, and everybody's looking out for themselves to be the one that preserves their own part at the expense of other people's part, then there's living Gehenna in this world. And that's the difference between Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim and Shelo L'Shem Shamayim. Hillel and Shammai didn't argue against each other. They argued with each other. They both had the same goal. We want to come to the truth. And the way to come to the truth is by arguing it out. So in the end, they both win. Because whatever the truth is, both are happy. I don't care, Hillel said, if I'm right or if you're right. And Shammai said the same thing. We just want to know what's right. And therefore, we'll argue it out and we'll come to the conclusion between us of what is right. It may be your way, it may be my way, it may be a combination of them. But it makes no difference. Because our only concern is what is true, what is right. And therefore, that kind of machlokes, both sides will persevere, and that is something that's very positive. Machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim is when people argue against each other, and each one wants to win. There can only be one winner. That kind of argument can't persevere. Eventually, one of them is going to win and one's going to lose. So today, I want to hone in on one specific aspect of this idea, because we find that aside from Korach representing the concept of strife, machlokas shelo l'shem shamayim, causing arguments that are not for the sake of heaven, we find also that Korach is an apikoros. Korach denies the validity of the Torah. He questions Moshe Rabbeinu's entire shlichus, his entire mission, if in fact he's acting as God's agent or individually on his own. And that puts the whole Torah into doubt. So Korach's an apikoros. I want to show how those two ideas really are one idea. Basically, what was the foundation of Korach's argument? He didn't like the role that he was given. When it came time to give out jobs, Korach felt that the Nasi, the head of the family of Kahas, was coming to him. And it was given to his younger cousin, Elitzophan ben Uzziel. And because of that, Korach questioned the entire system that Moshe Rabbeinu had presented in the name of God, whether it was God's doing or not. And he got together with him the Bechoros. The Bechoros also lost their position as the representatives of the Jewish people in the Beis HaMikdash. They were the ones that represented the people, the firstborn, and they lost that by the sin of the golden calf, and it was transferred to the Levium. And many Bechoros felt that it was taken away from them wrongly, and that this their role was to be these representatives, and that Moshe had no right to take away that role. And they wanted to reassume that role. Basically, the concept of roles in this world is a very, very sensitive topic. And we'll see that it's very sensitive by women, especially in these days. The fact that someone has a role, whether it's physically, socially, religiously, right? If you don't believe that God created the world, and you believe that things evolve haphazardly, then you can believe that roles are basically haphazard, arbitrary, and can be induced by cultural inducement, social pressures, right? And that's what causes the evolution of various roles, but it's not intrinsic. But if you believe that God created the world, and you see that God created various things that are different, he created fire, he created water, they have different characteristics, completely different purposes in nature. And every single thing in nature, God invested with various powers, abilities, and capabilities and characteristics that are different than other things. And that applies to the inanimate world, it applies to the vegetable world, plants. Every plant is different in its makeup, in what it can do, in what its purpose is, in what you can use it for. Animals, the same thing. Every animal is different in what its purpose is in this world, what it accomplishes, what it can do and what it can't do. And human beings are also different. God created non-Jews and he gave them one mission in this world. And he created all various nations, and each nation has a different part in towards the perfection of the world. He created Jews, and amongst Jews he created Kohanim and Levium and Yisraelim and men and women, and he apportioned out their roles. A man's role is this, and a woman's role is this, and a Kohen's role is this. And it's not the idea that everybody's equal, everybody's the same, and it's just a matter of developing your potential, and you can fulfill any role you want. It doesn't work like that. God is the arbiter, the decider of roles in this world. A person can reach the highest levels of perfection within their role, within their misgeret, their framework. God creates the framework, and that's what Korach and his entourage denied. God does not create the framework. Everybody is equal. And that's what they said. Kol ho'eda, kulam kedoshi, uvesocham Hashem. The entire congregation is holy, and therefore they have the potential to do whatever they want with their holiness. They can reach any level, any framework they want. There's no framework within that which they have to function. And uvesocham Hashem, and God is amongst them. So they have the ability to, with their holiness, attach themselves to God, right, in any way they want. There's no framework, there's no limitations. That was the slogan. That's what they purported. And in that respect, that is kfira in the entire Torah. Because the rabbis tell us, the Rambam brings it down in the laws of Hanukkah, Lo nitna ha-Torah ela lahavi shalom la'olam. The Torah was given to bring peace to the world. Now what does that mean? Torah was given to bring peace. Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Talmidei Chachamim, right, increase peace in the world. What does that mean? Talmidei Chachamim are arguing all days in the Beis Medrash. Now the idea is, the Torah was given to bring harmony to the world by describing the role and mission of every single thing in this world. Every single thing is told, these are your mitzvahs, these are your prohibitions, this is what a Jew is allowed to do, this is what a Goy is allowed to do, this is what a Kohen is allowed to do, this is what a Kohen has to do, this is what Israel has to do, this is what a man has to do, this is what a woman has to do. And God is the one who created these differences. Just as much as God created the physical differences in the world. That there's not too much to argue about. Right? I always say that women who feel that it's not fair, that God relegated them to perhaps a less prominent, open role in Yiddishkeit. They don't daven for the Amid, and they don't get aliyahs, and right? Their role is more behind the scenes, okay? And people, I don't wear tzitzis, and I don't wear tefillin, and have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and be part of the minyan. I don't know a lot of men who would like to switch places. But people complain, right? The grass is always greener on the other side. And they say it's not fair, right? And we're going to correct the situation. We're going to wear tefillin, and we're going to wear tzitzis, and we're going to make a minyan, and we're going to daven for the omen. It's very nice. But I'll tell you what's really not fair. Now, if you think that's not fair, I'll tell you what's really not fair. When I got married, I wanted to be extremely fair and equal with my wife. So I told her, I am willing to get pregnant half the time, you get pregnant half the time. Okay? Never worked out. Right? Every single time, Kenai and Ahara, we have 11 children, 10 times she was pregnant, we have twins, and it was always her. And she had to go through 9 months of difficulty, uncomfortable difficulty, right, and go through a painful birth. And I had to prepare a piece of Torah for the bris or the kiddush, you know, had to go around and tell everybody that we had a kid, right, drive her to the hospital. Those were the inconveniences I had. Now that's not fair, really not fair, right? But what can you do about it? You can think that's culturally induced, right? But really, men were supposed to get pregnant too, but somehow men lorded themselves on women, and now the women get pregnant. That's absurd, right? I don't think anybody in his right mind even entertains the thought. That's the way God created the world. And if you believe that God created the world, and he had a purpose why he gave a role, a physical role to women, and a physical role to men, then it makes sense that it goes beyond the physical. That there are spiritual roles also, there are social roles also. And it doesn't make one better or worse than the other. It makes them different. And the world needs all these different frameworks and different roles to have perfection. It can't be perfect without all these roles working together in harmony. So that's what it means. The Torah was given to make shalom in the world. The Torah defines the roles of every single thing, how it's supposed to be used, when it's supposed to be used, if it's supposed to be used, and by whom, and when, and what's okay and what's not okay. That's what the Torah is. The definition of roles in this world in specific times and place, right? The role of a Jew on Yom Kippur is to fast. It's a specific role for that day. There's roles for other days, right? There's times when we're not allowed to eat rolls, like on Pesach. So every day, that was a poor joke. So every time, place, situation, person, thing is defined in the Torah as to what its role is, what it's supposed to be used for, how it's supposed to use other things or whatever. And that's the purpose of the Torah. And Talmidei Chachamim are the ones who learn that Torah and disseminate it and create that perfection and harmony that comes from all the various things, recognizing what their part is and how to do it together in harmony with all the other parts. That's basically what Torah is. And to feel that, well, no, it's the leaders that force these roles, that develop these roles, that induce these roles. And that's what they said Moshe did. They said God didn't really want to choose you or Aaron or Aaron's children or the Levium over the Bechoros. It's you, Moshe Rabbeinu, that presented this, and God agreed with you. You got God to agree. You convinced God. But it's not God is the one who initiated it. You're the one who initiated it. And this is very similar to what, you know, women's libbers say, right, extremists, that all the roles of women throughout history, right, the fact that women are not truck drivers for the most part, and men are, okay, is because fathers gave their little sons little cars to play with in the cave, right, and then as things evolved, and therefore boys had this affinity to driving trucks, and girls were given dolls to play with, and they weren't given trucks and cars to play with, so they never had an affinity. They never had an affinity to what's it called, to truck driving. But had the fathers or mothers given their little girls cars over the years, then girls would have been truck drivers too, and so on. Right? It stops short of somehow inducing men don't get pregnant and women do. I think that's at the point where no one can say that that was induced by anybody, right? Even nature. Now, somehow that was the way things were. In any case, that's what Korach said, that talus, that's all techeles, does it need tzitzis? A house that's full of Sifrei Torah, does it need a mezuzah? And the answer is yes, right? Because everything has its specific role, and everybody can be a Sefer Torah, but there's a need for a specific mezuzah. Everybody could be a talus that's full of techeles. There's still a specific role of the tzitzis, right? There's the specific and the general. Generally, you're right. Everybody's holy and everybody's close to God. But there's three aspects of the Jewish people. There's the Kahal, the Eda, and Yisrael. Kahal, Adas, Yisrael. From the Kahal means a congregation. Literally, people congregate together, physically. In that respect, everybody has certain mitzvahs that they're supposed to do, and they can do them together equally with everybody else. Right? Everybody gets up in the morning, comes to shul, and listens to shofar. They're all congregated together, doing one mitzvah equally. They're listening to the same shofar that's being blown. Or they're all fasting on Yom Kippur. It's all equal people fulfilling the same mitzvah together physically. Then there's an Eda. An Eda is not a unity in physical proximity. You could be scattered all over the whole world. But you're an Eda in the fact that you give testimony, Edus, to the same principles. We all have the same beliefs that we're supposed to believe. That also is generic. It's the same for all of us. We all have to believe in God and love Him and fear Him and so on and so on. There's no difference between us in that. 13 principles of faith apply to men, women, Kohanim, Leviim, equally. Okay? That is what's called Eda. Eda can also mean Yaad. We all have the same destination. We all have the same goals, right? We're all trying to get to the same place, right? To come from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. In that respect, we're an Eda, and we're all the same. But there's one more aspect, and that's called Yisrael. Yisrael stands for, the Zohar says, Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah, and we've explained in the past that it doesn't mean that there's 600,000 letters in the Torah. There aren't. There's only 304,000 letters in the Torah. But in addition to those 304,000 written letters in the Torah is not complete unless you add another 600,000 letters. Those are the souls of the Jewish people. And there are 600,000 different root souls, clusters of souls. And they're all different. And in each cluster, there's differences. And there's differences between men's souls and women's souls and Kohen soul and a Levi soul and whatever. And each one has their unique part, just like every letter in the Torah is different. There's no two letters that are the same. Because the letters are not only different because they look different, the 22 letters. Where there's position? What word are they in? What word does that follow? You could have the same letters in the word Vayomer. But this Vayomer is in Shmos and this one's in Vayikra. This one, what's it called, is a sentence before a different sentence. This one is a sentence before another sentence. So the position of every letter makes it unique. It's a different letter. There are, in general, different letters. And even those letters that are the same, are different because of their position. People have different roles because of different times in history. Right? Different things apply in different places in the world. A person who's born in America has a different role in this world than somebody born in Swahili land. Different situation. So time, place, abilities, capabilities, talents, and who you are, what you are, makes your specific role in this world. That's where Korach made a mistake. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. All the Eda are holy. We all have the same goals and purposes and ideas, right? And beliefs. We're all holy. Uvesochem Hashem. And God unites us all. Of a kahal, we're a congregation united around God. Why therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, are you making differences? Why are you imposing your will on us? And Moshe says, right, Hama'at mikem, ki hivdel elokei Yisrael eschem. Korach, you're forgetting something. It's not only a kahal and an eda. You're right, in that, we all have the same potential. But how to reach that potential is different for every individual, because everybody is a part of the Yisrael. They're a letter in that Torah that's called the Jewish people, and every letter is different. In the end, we're all headed the same place. We're all doing this together. But what we contribute, what our individual framework is different. That's the difference. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Levim, Rav lochem b'nei Levi, it's not enough what God gave you to be a Levi and you also want to be a Kohen? Not for you. Rav lochem. So God said, the way that you spoke to them, I'm going to speak to you. And when you ask me to go into Eretz Israel, and I'm going to prevent you, I'm not going to allow you, I'm going to use the same words. Rav loch. It's enough for you. So what, Moshe did something wrong? It sounds like he's being punished. You told the Levim, enough for you, I'm going to tell you enough for you too. I think it's not a punishment, just the opposite. You can make a mistake to think that when Moshe Rabbeinu told the Levim, it's not enough that you're a Levi, you want to be a Kohen too, that a person should be satisfied with a minimum of spirituality. You don't have to look for more and more. You don't have to want to be closer to God, more holy, be happy with what you have. That's not true. That may be true for physical, material things, not true for spiritual things. A person should want to be as close to perfection as he possibly can be, should want to get closer to God and be more holy. And there's no limit. So what was the problem? The problem is that within your framework, there's no limit to how close to God and how holy you can be, but it's within your framework. The problem is not you want more spirituality. You want a different spirituality than was everybody within the framework given to them can reach the highest levels of perfection. A woman with her mitzvahs can reach the same level that a man can reach with his mitzvahs. There's no limitation on how holy or close to God a woman can be, more or less than a man. But there is a limitation in what path she has to get there. All the paths lead to the same place, but you have to use your path to get to that place. They have to use their path to get to that place. You can't change paths within certain limitations. There are certain ways that a person can accept upon himself to be on a high, on a different level. A Nazir can become like a Kohen Gadol. So it's possible for me to choose sometimes a path. A Goy can become a Jew, he can convert. But a Jew can't become a Kohen. He can have something similar to that. So within your framework, that's how you have to function. What you can achieve within that is the same that somebody else can achieve within their framework. You're just achieving a different way. But at the end of the road, you're all in the same place. That's the idea. So that, therefore, God said, somebody may make the mistake to think that you're telling the tribe of Levi, it's not enough for you, that what you have, you don't want more? That's not right. It wasn't a question of more or less. The question is type. You can reach that more through being a Levi. You don't have to be a Kohen. And it's wrong not to work within your role. So therefore God said, when the time comes, I'm going to prevent you from going to Eretz Israel. You want all these other mitzvahs, you want that level of Eretz Israel. I'm going to use the same terminology so people will know what you meant. It's not that you shouldn't want more, whatever. Your role, Moshe Rabbeinu, was to lead the people on outside of Eretz Yisrael. There's a role of Yoshua, he leads them inside Eretz Yisrael. It's not that I don't want you to have more, it's just that that's not your role. You had one framework, the framework ends. And God is the one who decides when it ends too. And that's why the Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why, first of all, women had a tremendous part in the machlokas of Korach, either for the good or for the bad. Korach's wife is the one who incited Korach to argue. And On Ben Peles's wife saved him from destruction. And later on, it was the daughters of Tzlafchad who made a point to say our father didn't die in Korach's thing. So we have a lot of things with women involved within the machlokas, outside the machlokas, because this is perhaps one of the sorest areas, especially today. Aside from then, it was Kohanim, Levim, and Bechoros, regular Jews. But today, it's the role of women, the role of men. And people feel, on both sides, that they feel discriminated against. Right? Somehow somebody cheated them. Right? My role is not what I would like, and the other one's role is not what they would like. So when it comes to men and women, it's even more obvious, physically, that we're different. And we have different capabilities and different things physically, naturally in this world that apply to men and women. We're not the same emotionally. We're not the same chemically. And you can't deny that. And Mamela, we're not the same spiritually either. Can we both reach the same perfection? 100%. But men in their way, women in their way. And therefore, when it came to questioning roles, if God, in fact, right, is the one who imposes roles in this world, if the Torah imposes roles, which is the whole purpose of the Torah, the women had a very, pivotal part in this. It wasn't just the men. It's the women also, because it affected them in a very, very strong way. And that's why it says that the people suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of adultery. You hear this? Moshe Rabbeinu, he separated from his own wife. They suspect that he was living with other people's wives. What it means is, conceptually, the idea of a wife and a husband is, this is my family. This is my framework. Somebody who commits adultery is taking somebody else's framework for himself. That's what they thought Moshe Rabbeinu was doing. He was taking other people's framework and hoarding it for himself and his family. That's similar to adultery. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu responded to Korach, and he said, Boker, there are definite differences in this world. There's day and there's night. You can't change day into night, and you can't change night into day. It's part of what God created in the world. And so too, you can't change a Kohen into a Yisrael, or a Yisrael into a Kohen. Just as much as God created the physical, natural world with differences, he created the spiritual world with differences also. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu invoked, when he wanted God to punish Korach. So he said, Kel Elokei Haruchos L'chol Basar, not to punish the Jewish people. He invoked God as the power, the master of all the different spirits of the Jewish people, meaning the different kinds of people. God created people, but he created them differently. And everybody has a different ruach, a different spirit, different ideas, different makeup. And God is the one who created and designated each one, and when they work together, that's perfection. And therefore, since they suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of culturally inducing, he forced God's hand. But really, God didn't create these differences. Moshe Rabbeinu created them, and God just went along with it, right? Similar to what people say, that these things were culturally induced over time, right? But really, men and women, everybody's the same. It's just how people are directed, right? How you can induce these things, right? Therefore, they were punished, mita keneged mita. How did they die? They were swallowed up by the earth. Who invoked that? Moshe. Moshe said, if these people die a regular death, then it's a sign that I'm not God's messenger. I did this all on my own. Then they're right. I want God to create a death that has not yet happened in this world. Now, that doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu created that. What it means is the following. It says that the mouth of the earth to swallow things was created already in the 6 days of creation on Friday afternoon before sunset. It was just waiting for the right time to fulfill that role. Everything has roles that depend, like we said, time and place. Normally, the earth is there to give people a standing, to give people something they can stand on and unite people together, that people all over the world are united by one common earth that unites them. They're different. But the earth gives them a common base. But there are times when people don't deserve that base. And they deserve to be swallowed up by the earth. So God created a mouth of the earth to be used to change its role. Its role normally is to give man standing, a base. Sometimes its role is to swallow those people up and put them down into Gehenna. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader. He's the one who has to decide which roles apply at which times. He doesn't make the roles. God makes the roles. But the leader is there to guide that maybe at this time, this is the role you have to have, at a different time, in a different place, a different role. The potential is there from God's standpoint. How you actually bring out that potential, when and where and how, that's dependent on the leader. So the Torah makes the framework. It's the leaders, the rabbis, who explain how, when, what, where that framework is effective and takes effect. And that's the idea that they didn't die a regular death, because people think that people are born, you know, just by accident or whatever. Everybody's born equally, right? And people live and people die, and it's all, you know, haphazard. But it's not true. God is the one who created you. He brought you into this world at a certain time, in a certain place. You live, you die a certain way too. Even you're not the one who decides how you die. Everybody has a different, there's 150, I think the Gemara says, different deaths. And God is the one who decides how a person leaves this world too. Just as much as he decides when he comes into this world, how he comes into this world, where he comes into this world, when he comes into this world. It's all, you have free choice, but you have free choice within a framework that God gives you. You don't have free choice to create the framework. And that is the fact that they didn't die a regular death. Showed that their death is determined by God, and their life, their birth, the osed liteng din v'cheshbon, the accounting you have to give each one according to what they were supposed to do in this world. That's the basic lesson over here. And therefore, even the children died by Korah. What did the children do? If you don't understand that you have to look at the framework as a harmony between various roles, then there are children, there are adults, there are parents, there are children, and you look at them as one framework, and the children exist as part of that framework. The parents are responsible, the children are being taught, whatever. Everybody has their role. But if you don't believe that, you believe everybody's equal, right? Everybody has their own role, and there's no roles that depend harmony-wise on everybody contributing their part, then children are on the same footing as adults, and they also deserve to be punished if they have to be. Because they're not part of a larger, harmonious system. Every man for himself. If every man for himself, then the children are judged as individuals too. And they're not judged as part of a system where they're at the point where their role is to be taught and learn and not to be responsible. If everybody's equal, then they're responsible just as much as everybody else is responsible. And therefore, in the end, there were three punishments. Korach, Dothan, and Aviram were swallowed up by the earth because they totally denied the fact that God creates roles and frameworks. And therefore, they were lost from this world completely. The earth, right, took on its opposite role instead of giving people a base, swallowed them up alive. The Levium didn't deny that God creates roles, right? The Levium and the Bechoros, they just said that we can change that role, right? There's no limitations. It's not that you work within your role to be the highest you can be. They say that what was Korach's problem? Not that he wanted to be more and more spiritual, because he could be the highest spiritual person he could be. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. You're a Levi. You should want to be the Levi Gadol. You should want to be the greatest Levi that could be. And that would be on par with the greatest Kohen, for a Kohen. And the Shemi Shmuel says that had Korach not sinned, there would have been a job created just for him, and it would have continued then on afterwards. Levi Gadol. There would have been, just like there's a Kohen Gadol, there would have been a Levi Gadol. No one was really fit for that role except for Korach, and he sinned, and therefore the role was never created. Had he done it, it would have gone then passed on to generations. So it wasn't a problem of wanting to be the best you can be, the highest level. Everybody could be the highest level, but within your framework. A Levi should not want to be a Kohen Gadol, he should want to be a Levi Gadol. So the Levium just felt that they could change paths. So they weren't swallowed up by the earth, they were burnt. I think the example could be the following. You know, you have an appliance that runs on 110 watt from Chutz Laretz. If you plug it in here, it's going to burn the motor out because it's not made to hold that voltage. But in America, if you plug it into 110, it functions very nicely, just as much as a 221 functions here. No difference. This isn't stronger or weaker. It's just we're running on a different voltage. But if you try to plug the 110 into the 220, you burn it out. That's the idea. The Levium burnt out. They tried to plug themselves into Kohona. That's 220. You be in the 110, you could be the same appliance. You could be the same effective, but within the 110. Don't try to be 220, because if you plug into something different than you, right, more voltage, you're going to burn yourself out. And that's what happened. They got burned. And the Jewish people who were affected only peripherally died in a makefa, because God wanted to show them, I control life and death. And as much as I control life and death, who dies, who gets sick, who's well, I control all the other conditions in this world of roles, circumstance, or whatever. It's not haphazard. It's not hefker. It's not culturally, socially induced. That's the way the world's supposed to be. Everything has its framework. Everything's supposed to work together. Everybody can reach perfection in their way, but everybody can't be the same in all the ways. That's the idea.